one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is oil. And it's because you have to remember, you know, in the Middle East, the Bible lands where the sun is very hot and the climate tends to be very dry. There was no such thing as suntan lotion and all these cosmetics we have today. And so in those days, something like olive oil would be used to soothe dry and chapped skin and bring relief. And that's like the Holy Spirit, symbolically, who is our relief. When we're reading about the Holy Spirit in Scripture, we have this pleasant depiction of His work. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Doesn't that just sound so great? Like love and joy and peace. That's what we need. That's what we want. When we are talking about the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness and peace and joy. Doesn't that just sound great? And all of that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's like a balm that soothes dry, chapped hearts. And that's what we really need today. We're going to be talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, part two, which we began last week. And today we want to talk about some of the fantastic promises that come to us if we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are in our study. Once again, I don't know how I do this. This is supposed to say Ephesians 5:15, and I have 4, so sorry, that's not right. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which there is excess, no rescue, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right, so there we have it from Ephesians 5, and especially verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Now, over the last few weeks, we've talked about a lifestyle that is appropriate for someone like you. That is, someone who has a royal family. Because if you are a believer, you're part of the family of God, and we are called in Scripture a generation of royal children. We are royals, which is so great. And there's an appropriate lifestyle for somebody who has your status in the universe and who has your calling, your competence with the indwelling Christ in you. What can you not do if the Lord calls you to do it, right? So there's an appropriate lifestyle. We've talked about this. The appropriate lifestyle for a person like you is that you would bear with others. You would be forgiving. You would be keeping unity, and you'd be peacemaking. You'd be casting off the old ways, and you'd be lifting others with spiritual gifts and lifting others with words of truth and love. And you'd be avoiding anger, and you'd be tenderhearted, and you'd be honest. And then we come to this. You would be filled with the Spirit. Last week we talked about how hard it is to live in this particular time when it's very, very difficult to be wise and spiritual. We live in a really hard time to do this, but God bless you. I hope you will do it anyway. And we talked about this spiritfulness as the great choice you must make. That was last week. Today, we are continuing that idea. Remember, F.B. Meyer said, God does not fill with His Holy Spirit those who believe in the fullness of the Spirit or those who desire Him, but those who obey Him. When the Bible appeals to you to be filled with the Spirit, it is appealing to you to be obedient to the Spirit. And so we have this parallelism in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. On the Ephesians side, which we read in our scripture reading just now, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. On the Colossians side, same thing. Teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You see how similar that is? And then what's next? On the Ephesians side, giving thanks always for all things. On the Colossians side, giving thanks to God and the Father. So you see, it's the same. So if we are going to let the word of Christ dwell in us, the Colossians side, it is the same as being filled with the Spirit, the Ephesians side. What we're saying is, we're looking for obedience. When the book of Colossians says Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. When it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it's saying, let the words of Christ, the words of the Bible, let them live in your heart, dwell with you, abide with you, live in your heart, full time. It doesn't just visit your heart. The words of God don't just visit and then leave. The words of God come to stay. And you host them in your heart. You welcome them. We want the words of Christ. That's basically obedience. If the Lord says it, I want it. And so you see, obedience is the same as being spirit-filled. Because, of course, saying yes to the word of God, Colossians 3, is the same thing as saying yes to the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5. In either case, we're saying yes to the Lord. That's what we're talking about. And so you find the idea of being filled as a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And when we ask ourselves, well, you know, why is not every believer filled with the Spirit? Well, it's because the Scripture teaches it's possible to quench the Spirit. If the Spirit is like a fire, it is possible for you to have an extinguisher, the extinguisher of saying no to the Holy Spirit, and then the fire is extinguished. So the Scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Not so long ago, Ephesians 4:30, we studied here in our service, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't quench Him. Don't extinguish Him. Don't say no to Him. Do not grieve Him. We have in Acts 7:51, Stephen preaching. He says, your problem is you always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist Him. That's quenching. That's grieving. Resisting. Don't say no to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. We have in Hebrews 10:29, the sad case of the person who treated spitefully the Spirit of grace. Do not treat the Spirit of grace spitefully. Do not mock. Do not turn away. Do not lock Him out. And so that's why every believer is not Spirit-filled. To be Spirit-filled is to say yes to the Lord, not in just some categories of your life, but in every category of your life. And if you don't say yes to Him in every category, then He cannot fill, right? He could occupy some section of your life, but He can't fill your life unless you say yes to Him in every category of your lifestyle. Lewis Berry Chafer, as we saw last week, says it is the normal work of the Spirit to fill the one who is rightly adjusted to God. You will be filled with the Spirit if you obey. It is the normal work of the Spirit to fill the one who is rightly adjusted to God. The Christian will always be filled while he is making the work of the Spirit possible in his life, not quenching, not grieving, not resisting, not doing despite to the Spirit of grace. A.W. Tozer says, for this reason, every man is as full of the Spirit as he wants to be. If you are not filled with the Spirit, if you don't have that love and joy and peace of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that, the reason is perhaps you are resisting. John Walbert says, we cannot say no to the Spirit, quenching Him, and we cannot continue grieving the Spirit if we desire the filling of the Spirit. That's the way the Scripture reads. So today, we come to the new part of the text, and we find that there are these three participles. Now, if it's been a little bit of time since you've been in school, remember, participles are those ing words. So our text says, be filled with the Spirit, and then a bunch of ing words all stacked up. And these participles, these ing words, are the prescriptions and results, both. A prescription, how to become filled with the Spirit, and the result, what happens if you are filled with the Spirit. They are both the prescription and the result, and we're going to see that this is what happens to a person who is Spirit-filled. He has a melody in his heart. Doesn't that sound pretty good? He has a melody in his heart. He has a sense of thankfulness, and even though it's not great theology to say it this way, you understand what I mean when I say, you have a sense of being a really lucky person. You kind of just live that. I feel like I'm a really lucky person. That's a sense of thankfulness. And if the Holy Spirit fills you, you're also going to have a willingness to defer to the preferences of others. That is, to serve other people instead of yourself. And that's what the Bible calls submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right, so this is what happens. These are the ing words, the participles that follow the command, be filled with the Spirit. All right, we've mentioned that these are both the prescription and the result of being filled with the Spirit. It's sort of like saying, maintain your financial health, and then ing words. Maintain your financial health. Eliminating, ing, participle, eliminating your debt, increasing your savings, and improving your credit score. Those are ing words, three participles. Now you'll notice that if you are not wealthy today and you want to be wealthy, here's how you could be at least more financially healthy. You could begin right now eliminating your debt, begin right now increasing your savings. No matter how much money you make, the key to financial security is to spend less than you make over a long period of time. That's the whole strategy for financial health. Spend less than you make over a long period of time. And if you were not wealthy today, but you would like to be financially healthy, you could do that. Everybody can spend less than they make over a long period of time. And lastly, you could improve your credit score. That way, when an opportunity comes up for you to make money, you could get a loan like the parable of the stewards. They'd be left with a block of money and then invest it and turn it into something bigger. All right, so if you were not wealthy, that's what you could do. Beginning today, you could eliminate your debt, you could increase your savings, and you could improve your credit score. That's how you become wealthy. Interestingly, that's also the result of becoming wealthy. Because if you become wealthy, at least financially healthy, then you will be able to eliminate your debt. Then you will be able to increase your savings. Then you will be able to have a better credit score. So you see, we're just going round and round. So you're saying I should start those things in order to become financially healthy? Or if I become financially healthy, I can start those things? It's like, yeah, we just go round and round. And it's a cycle. So is this what we're looking at today? This is so important for you to understand. Be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. Now we have the ing words. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So we're going to crunch those together. Speaking and singing and making melody as one thought. Because speaking, singing, and making melody all go together. All right? So those are your ing words. And the question is, are you saying that if I want to be Spirit-filled, I should sing a song of praise and worship to the Lord? Or are you saying that if I become Spirit-filled, then I will be inspired to sing a song of praise and worship to the Lord? And of course, it's a big cycle. Same thing can be said with the ideas of giving thanks. So you mean, if I want to be filled with the Spirit, I should give thanks for all things? Or are you saying that if I am filled with the Spirit, then I will feel like giving thanks for all things? Like, yeah, well, both. It's both a prescription. If you want to accomplish this, this is how you do it. And it is a result. If you become Spirit-filled, this is what you will do. And so, last of all, the same with being submissive. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are you saying that if I want to be Spirit-filled, I have to submit myself to others? Or are you saying that if I become Spirit-filled, then I will want to submit myself to others? And I'm saying it's a cycle. It's both. It's a prescription if you want to be Spirit-filled, and it's also a result of what your life will be like if you are Spirit-filled. So I hope you can track with that. It is a cycle. It's a feedback loop. It feeds on itself. And that's exactly why this is such an important thing for us to look at today. All right, let's start with this idea. A pleasant melody in the heart, because our scripture text says there will be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That sounds so good, right? Isn't that just the very thing that you would like in your life right now? To have a song in your heart, to have a melody in your heart. That's what we need. That's what we need in a terrible hardship. That's what we need even when life is going pretty good, right? We have a real pandemic today, besides the one we're hearing about in the news all the time. The real pandemic is a pandemic of depression and anxiety that is felt in every home of your neighborhood. You know, I walk up and down my neighborhood, and we're talking about a virus right now. And I think, well, that house is not affected by the virus, and that house is not affected by the virus, and my house isn't really affected by the virus right now, and not that one, and not that one, and not that one. It's like, I can live with that. You know what? I walk down the same neighborhood, the same streets, and say, that house right there, that house is affected by depression and anxiety, and so is that one, and so is that one, and so is mine. That's a real pandemic. We have to do something about that one. And what we need is a melody in the heart. Now that means that we have before us today a passage of Scripture which is saying this is what it takes to get a melody in your heart. I think that that is of paramount importance if that's the case. If this is what it takes to have melody in the heart, then this must be something that every house in my neighborhood needs. And it says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that sounds like something we need. In the presence of bad things that threaten the most pleasant aspects of our lives at this moment, not just yesterday or maybe someday, but at this moment, some of the most pleasant aspects of our lives are being threatened. And so a melody in our heart sounds really, really good right now. Don't forget, I showed you this some time back. 43% of Americans right now lost sleep over worry this month. 34% of Americans have symptoms of anxiety, depression, or both. 68% feel extremely or somewhat anxious about health right now. 36% feel extremely anxious about keeping themselves or their family safe right now. 67% of Americans feel anxious about finances. 56% of Americans feel anxious about politics. Pretty soon, all of us will feel anxious about that. And 48% feel anxious about relationships. So what we really need is a melody in our hearts. And we have a Bible passage sitting before us at this moment that is addressing that. That is so important. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's it. So on the left-hand side of our slide here, we're talking about obedience. If you want it to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to start praising and singing God's praises, even when God's plan for your life seems unpleasant. So in other words, maybe you don't like your current circumstances, finances, relationships, health, whatever we're talking about. Maybe you don't like your current circumstances much. Well, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to praise and sing praises to the Lord even when you don't feel like it. And if you say, I'm not doing that, that's silly. I'm not. Then you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. If the command was, become financially healthy and maintain financial health, and you said, I am not going to increase my savings. I am not going to eliminate my debt. I won't. Then you can't win. Now you come to a text that says, if you want to be Spirit-filled, you have to sing God's praises when you don't feel like it. And you have to say yes now, because that's how a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't feel like it, but you have to. On the left-hand side, we're talking about obedience. You are told here, this is a command, be filled with the Spirit, and the command leaks over into our participles, saying, and that includes singing praises to the Lord with a melody in your heart when you don't feel like it. So you have to say yes. On the right-hand side, we're reminded that this is also a result of being Spirit-filled. And on the passion side, the Holy Spirit will give you a passion for singing these melodies in your heart. When the Spirit is invited to fill a life, okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'll sing your praises. I will say yes to you. When the Spirit is invited to fill your life, then what he's going to do is inspire you to praise and sing praises to the Lord. That's how it works. And it's so hard to do this. All three of these things we're talking about, these ing words, are participles. All three of these are counterintuitive. And I think I would be quite safe in saying the vast majority of Christians just say no. And that's why the vast majority of Christians will not be Spirit-filled. You cannot come to this command and say, not happening, I'm not doing it. If you do that, you cannot be filled with the Spirit. And you think, but that is absurd. God's plan for my life seems so bad right now, I will not praise him for it. Okay, you said no. And that's going to have repercussions. Too bad. You see, it's talking here about singing, praising the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And sometimes we say, well, I wonder what that is. Now, truth be told, we don't know exactly what it is, because sometimes, like in Hebrew poetry, everything is parallel. We're not saying there's a difference. We're just saying the same thing three different ways. And that might be precisely what Paul, the Jewish person, is doing here. But there might also be some nuances of difference. So if there are nuances intended, maybe psalms are actually, you know, the inspired psalms that we have in the Bible, the Psalms of David and the other authors of the Psalms. And we should sing those. Hymns. Perhaps hymns are praises to the Lord, which are not in the book of Psalms. Praises to the Lord, which could either be addressed to God himself, Lord, we think you're wonderful, or to other people, do you know, I think my Lord is wonderful. In either case, God is happy that you are complimenting him, either in person or among others. That would be a hymn, perhaps. And spiritual songs, maybe that catches the rest of what we sing. These are perhaps songs of Christian experience. In my heart there rings a melody. Not exactly a praise, but it's my experience. So we have examples of that in what we sing around here at Avalon. Psalms, we sometimes sing, how lovely, Lord, how lovely is your abiding place. That's from the Psalms. Bless the Lord, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, the 10,000 part isn't in there, but bless the Lord is a big deal in the Psalms. We sing, whom shall I fear? God of angel armies, whom shall I fear? That's from the Psalms. We should sing those things. Say, well, what happens if I don't really like the plan God is unfolding for my life? Well, then you sing those things anyway. And then you know what happens? Then you start to feel those things. You have said yes to the Lord. You've obeyed him when it's hard to obey. And now the Holy Spirit is allowed, invited to come and live in your heart. Not just visit, but to live there full time. And he's going to make you want to sing these psalms and hymns. Hymns like, holy, 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 and wonderful, merciful Savior. We're telling the Lord how wonderful he is. We are complimenting the Lord. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Lord, you're just wonderful. See, that's a hymn. We're complimenting the Lord in song. And then spiritual songs like, Lord, I need you. When I fall, you're there to pick me up. I need you. Things like, come as you are. Lay down your burdens. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. See, that's my experience. It's not exactly directed to the Lord, but it's a song about my Christian experience, and I do love the Lord, and this is Amazing Grace. And all of the Amazing Grace songs, because there are so many in the Christian songbook. But these are spiritual songs. And when you don't feel like it, you have to sing these songs. If your loved one dies, sing these songs. Say, I don't feel like it. When your finances are in shambles, sing these songs. I don't feel like it. I know. Do it anyway. So says the Lord, Scripture, command, be filled with the Spirit and sing these songs. Okay. So you sing the songs. Even if your heart isn't exactly in it, you've thrown open the doors and windows of your heart and you've invited the Holy Spirit to come in and live there, not just visit. Stay, dwell, abide. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You just stay with me, Lord. And then the next thing you know, you actually feel like singing these songs. The Holy Spirit, who is now invited to stay in your heart, is inspiring you to do these very things. That's how this works. We have three ing ideas, sort of three of them in that first one, right? Because we're speaking to one another, singing and making melody. But we're counting that as one. Because every sermon has to have only three main points. But I think that's one idea. And here we go again with another idea, Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. ING words, the next one up. Giving. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving. Giving thanks. Now this is real trouble. So you understand how this is working with a command. Be filled with the Spirit, and by that I mean you have to give thanks for everything. And a lot of Christians just say, it's not happening. I will not. As a matter of fact, I have heard through the grapevine that this is such a hard principle that comes up in Scripture from time to time, and so therefore at our church from time to time. This is such a hard principle that one person left our church and said, that's absurd, and I'm not going to thank the Lord for hard things. It's hard. I mean, this seems absurd. But you realize it's part of the command. Be filled with the Spirit, thanking God for all things. So, I realize that when it comes to beauty, I am no star. Thank you, Lord, for making me kind of ugly. That's absurd. How can we possibly thank the Lord for that? Thank you, Lord, that my boss is a monster. I mean, how do you thank the Lord for these things? But you see, there's no way. I mean, what word do we not understand here? Giving thanks always, all the time, for all things. All the time. All things. I mean, how could we possibly be getting this wrong? What new translation of this idea could we propose that would change the meaning? So here it is. Be filled with the Spirit, thanking God for everything all the time. And then you have the opportunity to either say, yes, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Word of Christ, I get that. I welcome this Word in my heart, and it can just live there forever because I'm really into this. That's a yes answer. That's what you need. Well, of course, on the right-hand side, if you will do this, if you will thank the Lord when it seems absurd, then what happens is you've thrown all the doors and windows of your life open to the Holy Spirit, who now occupies your heart in freedom, and the next thing you know, you actually feel lucky. I mean, this happens. Have you seen this in the lives of people who are suffering? People have been through so much, and they will say, I feel lucky. You think, you're not lucky. You're like whatever is opposite of lucky. You are not lucky. And that Christian fellow says, no, I honestly feel lucky. What's happening there? He's allowed the Holy Spirit to come into his heart and stay there with his words and with his feelings, and now he actually feels lucky. I mean, that's just amazing, right? You say, well, is this just like a weird mental exercise? Like, you know, you tell an ugly boy that he's really handsome and maybe you can fake him out and get him to believe it? No, this is not that. Giving thanks always for all things. Why do that? And there are very strong reasons here. You can't deny these are very strong reasons. Because we don't believe it's possible for God to allow anything bad or even second rate to happen to you if you're following him. So in other words, we're saying, my loved one died. I cannot believe, I will never believe that God is allowing something bad to happen in my life. It must be the right thing. And not only is it not bad, it's not even second rate. It's as good as it can be for me, all things considered. And that all things considered part is pretty profound, because we are never in a position to have all things considered. But what we are in a position to do is to say, I cannot and I will not believe that God would ever let anything truly bad happen to me. The Lord might hurt me, but he will never harm me. And I will never believe that he would let something bad happen to me. And not only that, I will never even believe that what happened to me was second rate. Now, this is coming from someone who has had some disappointment in life, right? I have had some disappointment in life. I'm not saying that my disappointments are much worse than your disappointments, but I'm saying I've had some. And I honestly believe I can thank God for every single one of them, because in my heart of hearts, not only do I think those things are not bad, I don't even think those things are second rate. I think those things are exactly the best things that could have happened in my life, all things considered. So that's why we can give thanks always for all things. If I find that I'm not handsome, I'm thankful for that. If I find that I don't have money, I'm thankful for that. If I find that I don't have athletic ability or physical strength or health, I'm thankful for that. Because I will never believe that that is a bad idea, all things considered. Why give thanks always for all things? Because bad is good when it corrects our waywardness, when it accelerates our growth, or it showcases our love and heroism for God. And if you're a follower of Jesus, one of those three possibilities is at work in every hardship you ever have, maybe more than one. So that's why you think, well, I hate that I'm not handsome. Well, maybe the reason I'm not handsome is because it would have caused me to be wayward. It would have slowed down my spiritual growth, or it would have taken away opportunities for me to be a great lover of God or a hero for God. So I'm glad I'm not handsome if that's the way it's going to be, all things considered. And we do that with every hardship in life. Why would I ever, always give thanks for all things? Because Calvary Forever proves that good things come from suffering. The way I like to say it, as you know, is Calvary proves once and for all that suffering brings good things. Great suffering brings great things. And the greatest suffering the world has ever known at Calvary has brought the greatest thing the world has ever known. So in Christianity, the equation is suffering brings good. And that means I should suffer. I want to suffer. If it's going to bring good, I'm for it. In God's kingdom, I'm for it. And that's why I can give thanks all the time for everything. If I wake up and realize that I need back surgery, I can thank the Lord for that, because all things considered, that is not bad. It's not even second rate. It's just right for a person like me. And that brings us to the third statement. So we've talked about singing when you don't feel like singing God's praises. We've talked about thanking God when you don't feel like thanking God. And now we're talking about submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. On the obedient side, this is an ing word connected to the command. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting yourself. It is necessary, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, that you obey this. You're going to have to submit yourself to other people. That is, as we said it elsewhere, you're going to have to defer to the desires of other people and not just what you want. On the right-hand side, it's also a passion. When you have thrown the doors and windows of your heart open to the Holy Spirit to do anything He ever wants to do in your heart, He is going to inspire you to want to serve other people. It's what you'll want to do. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting yourselves to one another in fear of God. This is against every natural inclination we have. The alpha wolf gets the first meal at every kill because he can. And nobody will mess with him because he'll growl and snap at any opponent and teach the opponent a lesson if the opponent doesn't let him have first choice of the meal. That's how we all are at heart. The CEO gets a big bonus while his subordinates get laid off. He's the boss. He can do what he wants. That's raw capitalism. That's cruel capitalism. You know what Christian capitalism is? The boss suffers with the employees. You don't get paid. I don't get paid. There might come a time when I have to lay you off, but I'm going to be sick about it. See, that's not raw capitalism. That's not cruel capitalism. That's Christian capitalism. I'm not the alpha CEO. We'll all suffer together. I love you, and if it comes time that we no longer have work here, it's going to make us all sick. But that's sharing in it. Congressmen create socialized medicine and public school failures and then keep their own private health insurance and send their own kids to private schools. Nice. Well, they can. They're the royals. Celebrities scold the populace for using too much oil, and then they jet themselves around the world. They can do that because they're the royals. To get a little closer to home, because most of us are not congressmen or celebrities, the grouch gets his way by promising unpleasantness to any who might cross him. You know, it pays to be a grouch because nobody's going to mess with you. They'll say, I'll just do it his way because it's just not worth the fight. Good idea. Except then you wouldn't be showing deference to others. You wouldn't be serving others. You're using a grouchy personality to get your way. And that's too bad. Because if you do that, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. The husband gets his preferences because, after all, he's the head of the house. The more attractive, athletic, intelligent, and popular kids laugh at their inferiors. After all, they're the gifted ones, and gifted ones get to laugh at their inferiors, right? The person with seniority asserts his privilege. I've been here longer than you, so do it my way. The squeaky wheel grabs all he can and then chuckles about it. Yeah, I just squeaked about it until they finally thought it wasn't worth the trouble and they gave me what I wanted. But you weren't serving others when you did that. You weren't showing deference to the preferences of others when you did that. The person who can angle his coworker out of a commission or a promotion will do it. It so happens that I worked for 5 minutes on that contract and you work for a month. Let's split the commission. Nice. One heir, or maybe even a false heir, asserts himself over the other deserving heirs when a loved one dies. Alpha wolf, get what you can, squeak, make everybody miserable, just get it. Too bad. That's not the way a person is spirit-filled. So on the obedient side, that's not going to work out for you if you want to be spirit-filled. On the passion side, if you will do these things, the Holy Spirit will also make you eager to give your life in service to others. Van and Jean Van Auken, in their book, Severe Mercy, talk about the great love they have for one another. And they said, here's how we're going to make this relationship extraordinary, which is one of the greatest love stories ever written. So whatever one of us asked the other to do, the other would do. Thus, one might wake the other in the night and ask for a cup of water, and the other would peacefully and sleepily fetch it. We, in fact, define courtesy as a cup of water in the night. You just have to take care of other people. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting yourselves to one another. And isn't it funny, we'll say more about this in the coming lessons when we talk about family, which is next in Ephesians 5. Even though I am the head of my house, I also find myself submitting to Teresa because she happens to be my sister in the body of Christ. So I think, I hope that I'm submitting to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ because I was told to do that. So I'm in the unusual situation of being the head of my house and submitting to my sister in Christ. That's how this works. Because once you have decided you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that means you're going to have to be submissive. You're going to have to defer to the preferences of others. You say, I won't do that. I like the alpha male idea. I'm a type A personality, and I'm going to be a type A personality. All right. Then you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. And since you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you never really have had a passion, have you, for serving other people, for deferring to their opinions and their preferences. You see the problem. Be filled with the Spirit. This is where we've been all morning. Be filled with the Spirit. Just say yes. We're not quenching. We're not grieving. We're not resisting. And we're not treating spitefully the Holy Spirit. Just say yes. Just say yes. That's all we're asking. This great story comes from what was obviously a wonderful person. Carrie Malcolm died just a few years ago, 2014. And when she was young, she was in a prison camp in China that was run by Japanese soldiers. Because remember, you know, Japan conquered China before we all got involved with World War II. And so she's a missionary kid. And the Japanese soldiers killed her father, bombed her home, killed her father. And then mother, her brothers, and Carrie are taken to a prison camp. The prison camp is in China. It's run by Japanese soldiers. And the prison camp itself used to be a Presbyterian mission compound. So she would meet with other Christians who had been captured. And they would go to the bell tower on the mission compound every noon. They were given a few minutes, and they'd go up there and they'd pray for their release. And she was very earnest about praying for release. As a matter of fact, she said pretty soon she just sort of fixated on being released from prison. And she said she realized at some point that her desperate prayers for being released were actually making her feel worse instead of better. And this confused her because, you know, prayer is supposed to make you feel better, right? And so she asked the Lord to reveal himself to her in some way that would help her. She's just a kid. She's a teenager. And she has a 2.5 by 2.5 square in her room. That's her place. That's her place. Outside the mission compound now, it's not nice. We have barbed wire, a wall, and a moat. She's a prisoner. And she's just getting more and more desperate. Everything's been taken away. So she asks the Lord, please help me. Please reveal yourself to me. And she says, gradually, she's just a teenage girl. Gradually it dawned on me that there was just one thing the enemy could not take from me, my relationship with my God. There was more to life than just getting out of prison. And she began to be captured with this idea that she doesn't need to get out of prison. She just needs to have this relationship with the Lord and everything is going to be okay. Well, as I said, she was feeling like the prayer meetings were so intense on release, 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 deliverance, that they didn't make her feel better. So she decided she wasn't going to go to the bell tower one day at noon. Her friend Debbie came immediately after the prayer meeting was over and said, why didn't you come? And Carrie doesn't even remember saying anything directly about, you know, all that the Lord had been putting in her heart about these things. But somehow Debbie knew. And Debbie said something like, and this is her own teenage friend, said something like this. She said, oh, I see, you're too good to come to prayer meeting now. You're holier than we are. It cut Carrie to her heart. She said that already she'd had so much loss. She lost her home. She lost her father. She lost her freedom. She lost her education. And now she was losing her Christian friends. She was just sick about it. But as she was thinking about it, processing it all, after it happened, she says, it was only then that I was able to pray the prayer that changed my life. Lord, I am willing to stay in this prison for the rest of my life if only I may know you. And she says, at that moment, I was free. She's saying yes to the Holy Spirit. What if the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to get out of prison? What if the Holy Spirit wants you to praise Him with songs even though you don't feel like it? What if the Holy Spirit wants you to be thankful even when you think that's absurd to be thankful? What if the Holy Spirit wants you to submit to the desires of other people instead of getting your own way? You think, I just can't do that. What if He wants you to? Then you have to say yes. And if you'll say yes, then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you want to do then? You want to thank the Lord with a melody in your heart. You'll be thankful all the time for all things. And you're going to submit yourself to the ideas of other people. And so it goes in a big cycle. Don't say no to the Lord. Say yes to the Lord. As the scripture would command us, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help us to see it. To see how it could be love and joy and peace, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, if we would just say yes to you in every matter, even when it seems absurd. And I pray that when we have said yes to you, the melody will come back to our hearts. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.